I don't like to cry in public. But when I heard Rhonda Sparks sing Living River, I found tears rolling down my face, and I tried to unobtrusively wipe them away, but as she went on, the tears kept coming. Living river rolling onward, carrying my soul on out to the sea. Living river rolling onward, let the mighty ocean wash over me. On the banks of the river where the waters ease my mind. The reason that this song was so meaningful to me and remains so meaningful to me is that the concept of river began when my mind was not at ease. Outwardly, my life looked really good. I had a good marriage, had a nice house, I had a decent job, I was in graduate school, and after graduate school, I was going to get an even better job. But my mind was not any at ease. I was unhappy. I didn't have any answers, and I, at that time, couldn't even formulate the questions. About that same time, I enrolled in a course called Ecological Psychology with Tom Lombardo. And in that course, Tom explained that psychology should only be studied from the point of view of the human being as part of a larger ecology. And that as we understood humans, our perspective at that time in psychology was very limited because we looked at the human being as if there weren't an ecology that that person lived in. So Tom began changing my thinking. And the course went on, he began talking about our responsibility to promote life. And we just started discussing what life means. And finally, one day I said to him, what does ecological psychology have to say about life? What is life? And Tom thought a moment, and he said, I don't know what ecological psychology has to say about life, but I know what I think life is. And he went on to say that he thought life was like a river. And the river flows, and up comes a wave, and that wave is Tom Lombardo, and another wave comes up, that wave is Dee Evans, and another wave comes up, and that wave is Tree. And as time goes on, we all go back into the river. That concept, that idea was very comforting to me at the time. I didn't have to ask, is there a God? Is there not a God? And if there is a God, what is that God? How do you define that God? I didn't have to ask any of that. All I had to do is think about we are all of us together, are part of a river, and we rise up from it, and we go back in into the river. And I kept comfort in that concept, even when I was continuing to look for answers. And I looked for them in Buddhism. And Buddhists use the same concept of life as a river. However, they carried it a step further. They made very clear that when that wave comes out of the river, it's no different than the river. There is no separation between the wave and the river, and there is nothing else but the river. When the wave goes back into the river, it is still the river. And I began to understand that we're all one. But my understanding of this was conceptual. It was intellectual. I didn't really understand in my heart what that meant till I came to this church. When I walked into this church, I noticed that people kind of sat in little groups. And I learned later that's because we had a group of people who were atheists, and we had a group of people who were humanists, and we had a group of people who were pagans, and we had a group of people who were theists. There were many, many viewpoints in this church. So here we are, all in the same river, but many viewpoints. And I noticed something. I noticed that there was a search for truth and meaning, just like the Unitarian principle says. And people were allowed to take different paths in this search for meaning without anybody criticizing each other. In fact, there was a respect for and an acceptance for the different viewpoints. And that acceptance began to change me. It began to move from my head to my heart, what it meant to all be part of this living river. Now, I've learned something recently, and I want to share that with you. You see, after having seen all these viewpoints, I said, oh, if you're a Unitarian, you can believe anything. And I went, four of us from this church recently, last month in fact, went to a seminar put on by the Unitarian Midwest region. And Ms. Presley stood up and said, do not say, as a Unitarian, you can believe anything, because you can. If you say something, for example, because of the color of my skin, I am better than other people, you're not a Unitarian, because that violates our first principle of the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. During the break, I heard Kleber say that we can believe anything as long as it doesn't hurt others. So that's a good way to put that we have to adhere to our principles and purposes. So as a Unitarian, I found it a challenge. It isn't easy. Maybe for you it's easy to be a Unitarian. For me, being a Unitarian is hard. And I'm giving you two brief examples. I'm driving down the road, and suddenly somebody cuts in front of me, cuts me off. I have to slam on my brakes so I don't hit him or hit something else. At that moment, I don't want to recognize the inherent worth and dignity of the person who cut me off. In fact, I want to give them that negative universal gesture we all understand. To bring, that's one way being a Unitarian is hard for me, but let me bring it a little bit closer to home. According to our principles, our congregations use a democratic process. That means that things that I don't want to happen are voted in, and things that I do want to happen are voted out. And there have been times when I wanted to pick up my marbles and go. You want to do that? Fine. But then I had to ask myself, where would I go? And I can hear some of you say, oh, Dee, if you're a Unitarian, there's wonderful churches across the river. You could go to them. And you're right. I could. They're great churches. Except church research shows that the average person won't drive more than 20 minutes and sometimes stretch it to 40 one way to church. Well, I'm here to admit to you, I'm pretty average in that way. When I moved here, I moved from a big city, and I had spent years and years and years driving to church, driving to work, driving to social activities, that when we moved here 14 years ago, a decision we made was, I'm not driving a long way any place. So right now, in this church, I am who I am. I'm somebody, even though I say I am a Unitarian, my limit is 20 minutes. Now, you see, that's important that I stand up here and say that to you. Because it's a something about me. It just shows you one of my limitations. But the fact that I can stand up here and say that in front of everybody says that I don't have to walk into this church and present any kind of a false face. I don't have to pretend to be somebody other than I am or better than I am. No one has to walk in this church and be anything other than what they are. I am, and you are, accepted the way you are. It is that acceptance that kept moving this whole concept of River of Life from my head to my heart. It helped me understand how much we are all one. Now, there's an odd thing, a very odd thing about this acceptance. While I don't have to pretend to be better than I am or be anything other than I am, the acceptance has also pushed me to do better, to be better. Now, I can give you many, many ways in which this church has helped me to be better, a better person, but I'm going to give you a little one, because sometimes I think little examples are better than big, dramatic changes. I'm a child of the 60s. That means from a very young age, I was involved in marches, civil rights marches, marches for women's rights. Excuse me. I was involved in social justice. Then I took a job that involved social justice. I had to make sure that my clients' rights were met. They were all poor, so sometimes we had to fight for places for them to live, make sure they got their medication in a world that didn't want to provide that for them. I spent years, sometimes within the institution, fighting for their rights. By the time I came to this church, I was totally burnt out on social justice. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to think about it. But our principles talk about justice for all. But I just couldn't. Now, we began the fourth Saturday lunch, which feeds the poor once a month. And I tried to become involved, but for many reasons, one of which was just burnout with social justice, I just couldn't. And did I feel guilty about that? Oh, yeah, I did. But then somebody said, you know what? The poor need personal care products. We need to start giving them out when we do our fourth Saturday lunches. And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can, burnout as I am, I can bring some deodorant, I can bring some toilet paper. It may be a little thing, but that was my way of helping. And this church helped me by accepting me the way I am, to be better, to remember that the river of life includes everybody. And when my husband, who's very generous, more generous than I am, would write these checks to all the charities, I started getting very jaded, and I'd get on Charity Navigator, and I'd go, no, you don't want to give to this organization. You know, oh, they don't need that. And finally, one day, he said, I just want to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I sat back, and I thought, Dee, just write the check. Just do it. And you know why I did that? Because for some reason, and I don't know why, this little page was sitting on my table with the principles on it. So yeah, by accepting me, you help me to understand how the river of life flows and that we're all one of it. And what's important is that we are a current. We're one current. The Mississippi River is a good example of the river of life, because the Mississippi has all these currents going in. It's not a placid river. It's got all these currents, and the currents collide into each other, and they sometimes push on each other, and things jump from one current to another. And that's how life is. And in this church right now, we're going through a big change. We're a particular current of the river of life, Alton UU. We're a current in this big river, and we're all part of this current. And right now, this current is facing some challenges. One of it is a financial challenge, as you heard our president say. The other is that our minister has chosen to go to a different current. Now, we are all here together, this very accepting congregation. This congregation that allows all these different viewpoints, and we're going to be going through a lot of change. So I know because of who we are that we're going to do two things. One of them is, people leave currents in the river of life because they need to. And Kleber has chosen to go to another current. He's going off to Florida. So we, in our way of accepting each other, need to accept and support him in this. But we also need to support each other. We need to support our board and the members who are looking for an interim minister. We need to accept the change that's going on and support each other in this change. It's going to be hard in some ways. And it's also going to be fun. But if we can remember that acceptance leads to and promotes us to be better, then we will make it down this current, even though we might be in a river that's like the Mississippi, very hard, with currents bumping against each other. Because we are the First Unitarian Church of Alton, and because we are a current that is here to stay. We are a river that's going to keep rolling onward. Have a good day.